Okay, everyone. So good to see some familiar faces in this room. Let me just assign one more person. Okay. Hello, everyone. My name is Emma Katz, for anyone who wasn't here for the introduction. And tonight we are going to be talking about that character, that one that gets in our way. What do I mean? We are all geared up. We get to shul. We fasted all day. We're ready for Purim to begin. We want to hear the story of how Haman wanted to kill the Jewish people. And then we have to hear about this evil Vashti. What is she doing getting in our way? Do we really need to hear about the entire party of Ahasuerus and what happened with Vashti and that she had a party and she refused to come? Like, it just seems so out of place. The Tanakh is very good at being succinct. Sometimes we say, couldn't we have been given a few more details? Couldn't we know a little bit more? And yet here, when we very easily could have had a nice one-liner before we're introduced to Esther, Esther became the queen because there was an evil queen who was killed. We don't really need to know anything more than that. All we need to know for the true purpose of understanding the Megillah is, how did Esther get to the palace? And that's it. That could have been a one-liner. So what is Vashti doing here? And to add, I know at least I can speak for myself. I was raised with this understanding that Vashti was the evil queen, right? Nobody who ends up growing a tail was too good of a person. That we're always told that Vashti is the evil queen. Esther is the tzaddikess who comes to replace Vashti. But was that really so? So to understand this, first I just want to look into the psukim and see what do we actually know about the Vashti story. I apologize that you do if you didn't get the source sheet in the email before the event. My computer is being a little weird. I can't really send it right now, but I'm going to read aloud. So anyone who doesn't have the source sheet, you will still most definitely be able to follow. So we are in the first parak of the Megillah in Pasuk Tet. Gam Vashti Amalka Samish Denashim Bita Malchot Asher Lemalach Achashverosh. Vashti the queen, at the same time that Achashverosh was making his grand party, Vashti the queen was also making a party for the women. Biyom Hashvi'i Kitov Liv Hamelach Biyayin Amar Lemehuman Bista Harvona Bigta Vavata Zatar Vikarkas Shivata Sarisim Hamishartim Epnei Hamelach Achashverosh. Achashverosh, on the seventh day, when he was quite drunk, he says to all of his officers, he says, I have a great idea. Lahavia Vashtia Malka Lifnei Hamelach Beketer Malchut Leharot Ha'amim Behasarim Et Yafya Kitovat Marehi. He says, I'm going to have you bring Vashti in front of me. She is going to show off her beauty to everyone who is at this party. Vatima'in Hamalka Vashti Lavo Bidvar Hamelach Asher Biyad Hasarisim. Vayiktsof ha-melech me'od v'chamato ba'arabo. Vashti refuses to come, and Ahasuerus is not happy. It says he is infuriated by the fact that she refused to come. And we all know what happens after this. Ahasuerus goes to his advisors and says, what should I do? They say, you must kill Vashti, because her actions here have not just affected our palace. Rather, now, when all of the women in the kingdom get word of what Vashti did here at this party, Chas v'shalom, they're not going to listen to their husbands anymore. What's going to happen if all of the wives decide not to listen? There's going to be a mass rebellion, right? Crazy. So they decide that they are going to kill Vashti, and they are going to send out an edict to the entire nation that all wives must listen to their husbands. So that's all we know. There are very few details. However, I would still say a few too many, way more than we needed. But what really happened here? The Midrash in Esther Rabbah tells us, L'havia vashtia malka lifnei ha-melech b'keter malchut. What did Ahasuerus truly want here? Amar Rabbi Abayhu, Kipartan shel Yisrael, Kishe Yisrael ochlin v'shotin v'smichin, Hein mevarchin u'mishabchin u'mikalsin l'hakadosh baruch hu. He says, when the Jewish people sit around talking, what do? They praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what Jews do when they sit around schmoozing. They praise Hashem. We all know this to be true. However, unfortunately, when the nations of the world sit around talking, which is what was happening at this party, one said, we have the most beautiful women. The other one said, no, we have the most beautiful women. And it became this comparing of the women in their societies. And Ahasuerus overheard what was being discussed at his party, and he said, this is ridiculous. We have the most beautiful women. I am going to bring my queen in here, and I am going to bring her in here naked. She is going to show off all of her beauty to all of you. That was what Ahasuerus expected of Vashti. And that's on the one hand, that what was expected of Vashti here to be brought into this party in such a demeaning way, that she was going to be brought in front of this party in such an inappropriate manner. Definitely not fitting of a queen. However, the Malbim explains that this played into everything that happened in the way Ahasuerus interacted with his wife. What does that mean? Vashti was the member of the couple that was from the royal family. Vashti was from the family of Nebuchadnezzar. She came from royal blood. Ahasuerus did not. Ahasuerus had been a simple saddle boy. He worked with the horses. And when there was a military takeover, his family took over the royal palace, and Vashti was given to him as a wife, and he became the king. However, it was not because he was of royal blood. Rather, it was through his wife that he became the king. And Ahasuerus developed a sort of inferiority complex about this. He was constantly trying to prove himself and to exert his power over Vashti. How do we see this? The Malbim says, in the way that Ahasuerus phrased his invitation, he said, Gam Vashti Hamalka. He places Vashti's name before the words Hamalka. He places her name before her title. He says, you think you're so great, you're the queen? You're just Vashti. Okay, after that, well, remember that you're a queen, but you're really just Vashti. Remember that. You're nothing. You're just one person. The Malbim continues and says, the language that Ahasuerus used of Lehavi et Vashti, queens are not brought places. Queens come. To say that the officers should bring Vashti is such a degrading way of inviting her to his party. He was saying she is not going to come on her own volition. She should be dragged to this party. It should be clear that I am the one with the power. And lastly, the Malbim says that Ahasuerus was putting Vashti in such a strange position. Vashti said to Ahasuerus, don't you realize what's going to happen? If I come in the way that you want me to in front of these officers, if they find me beautiful, they'll get rid of you. They don't really need you. And if they find me ugly, then that's going to be even more embarrassing to you. But Ahasuerus didn't care. He just wanted to exert his power over Vashti. He wanted to show that he was truly the king around here. So that is one view of Vashti that is unlike the one we typically think of, and that is that Vashti was really a victim here. That we don't see anything explicit in the psukim that would lead us to believe that Vashti was evil. It seems like Vashti was really just an unfortunate wife in an unfortunate position. Why then are we raised with this idea that Vashti was so evil? The Gemara and Megillah gives us one piece of information that will contribute to that view. What is that? It says, why did Vashti refuse to come? Michtei pritu teha have, was it because of how immoral it was, of how immodest it was? Damar mar shnehem ledavar avira nitkunenu. The Gemara answers, no, don't think that Vashti was such a tzaddikess. She was quite the prutza. She was willing, she was all for immodesty, immorality. On any regular day, she would have had no problem coming to the party. Rather, Amar of Yosi bar Chanina, milamecha parcha bat Sara'at. However, on that day, she had just broken out in Sara'at. Or, Ba Gavriel v'asa la zanav. Or, Gavriel Hamalach came and gave her a tail. It is therefore that Vashti found herself in an unfortunate situation with, as we learn as children, she had pimples and a tail, and therefore she did not want to come show herself off on this day when she felt so ugly. On any other day, she would have gladly come. She loved Avirut. She loved Pritzas. This was what she was about. But on that day, she had Sarat, or she had a tail, so she couldn't come on that day. Now, we do know that if Sarat is ever mentioned as the sign or something that is thrown into a situation, it's not by chance. We even learn this with Moshe Rabbeinu, when one of the signs that he had to show to Paro was that his hand erupted in Sarat. We are meant to understand that he was receiving a slight punishment in that moment. So the choice of Sarat or the choice of a tail were not happenstance punishments for that moment. So the first thing that we learn about Vashti on the evil side is that she loved doing Avirot. She was immoral, immodest, and would have gladly come in front of a room of men in such an undignified manner. Rashi adds a second point. And that was that Rashi says, Rabotinu Amru, Lefi Sheparcha Batzara'at, Kedei Shetema'in V'Titarig, Lefi Shehaita Mipashata B'no Yisrael Arumot, V'Osa Bahen Malacha B'Shabes, Migzar Aleha, Shetipashi Aruma B'Shabes. Rashi tells us that what was happening here was Mida Kenegan Mida. Vashti was specifically cruel to Jewish women. Vashti used to bring Jewish women to serve as her servants, and she knew that Jewish women pride themselves on their modesty. And therefore, she said to these Jewish women, not only are you going to have to work for me, you are going to have to work for me naked. That is going to be your work uniform. And she says, I know that Shabbos is so important to you. Not only are you going to have to work for me, not only are you going to be my slave, not only are you going to have to work naked, you are going to have to work for me on Shabbos. She was that type of cruel, evil person who picked out exactly what would bother you the most. And that was the point that she hit on. That was the point that she made sure to hurt the Jewish women. And therefore, Rashi says, Hashem punished Vashti Mida Kenegan Mida. When did this story happen? This story happened on Shabbos, that she was asked to come naked in such a degrading way on Shabbos in front of the entire kingdom. And therefore, she was killed on Shabbos for doing this. So now we have these very different sides of Vashti. We have the victim, the one who is just another person who is along Ahasuerus's path to power. And we have the evil Vashti, the one whom we've always known. Why are we presented with such an unclear character, specifically at the beginning of the Megillah? Right when we want to jump right into our story, why do we have to learn about Vashti here? This character who we just don't understand. And Rav Yoel ben Nun, who is a scholar of Tanakh who lives in Gush Etzion, Rav Yoel ben Nun gives a very interesting explanation. He says, what is Megillat Esther? Megillat Esther is the topsy-turvy Megillah. He says, until this point in Tanakh, things have been pretty clear. If the Jews did things that were not right, we got punished. The Tanakh is not always a beautiful, rosy picture, but it's pretty clear. Yes, there are ambiguities in the text. There are always things that we don't understand. But most often, things have been pretty straightforward. Nothing compares in complexity and how unclear it is as the Megillah. Megillat Esther takes it to an entirely new level. Nothing makes sense. Spoiler alert, we could do this with any character in the Megillah. Down to Mordechai HaTzadik, Ahasuerus, Haman, Harvona, we could pick apart every character and they would have two sides to them. They would have so many ways we could understand them. Everything that happens in the Megillah is so unclear. And Rav Yoel ben Nun says this is dafka the point. That he says, until this point in Tanakh, everything's been pretty clear cut. One might walk away from Tanakh saying that Hashem is there when things make sense. That when we are clearly able to see Yad Hashem, the way everything worked out so perfectly, we know that Hashem was in that situation. He says Megillat Esther comes to close out Tanakh to show us that Hashem is also there when things are not clear. That when things seem upside down and backwards and completely topsy-turvy, that is also Hashgachat Hashem. When we don't see it come into a beautifully clean picture, that is Yad Hashem. So Vashti is our character through which we are introduced to this lens of the Megillah, because Vashti shows us that she's not clear. From the very first moments of the Megillah, before we get to our main story, we meet Vashti, who we don't truly understand. She can be viewed in two totally different ways. And she shows us, you'll never understand me. By the time you think maybe you'll get to understand me, I'm gone. And that is how I want you to proceed into the Megillah, with this knowledge that things will not be clear and things will not be clean cut. But we also must understand that Hashem is found in Megillat Esther as well, even if it's not so clear. Thank you so much for joining, everyone. Does anyone have any questions? If not, we are going to just go back to the main room to close out the evening. Okay. Thank you for joining. I'm going to